Chapter 34. Terra, the Imperial Palace.
"This statement must necessarily be brief," the recording continued. The picked quality was not sharp. It had been subjected to extreme astrotelepathic transfer and encryption, and there was a lot of distortion. It was just possible to make out the face of Lord Commander Militant Heth. There were other figures around him, though they were indistinct, and behind them what appeared to be the bridge of a starship. The recording source kept jarring and vibrating.
"The Orc attack moon that I described has immense capabilities and possibly almost limitless resources. As we have no hope of outrunning the Greenskin fleet, Admiral Kirin, whom I commend utterly, has taken this ship in close. We have attempted to damage the so-called attack moon with primary weapons, to no avail. It is both armored and shielded, possibly by some form of gravitically manipulated shield. It is bombarding us with crude but effective rock mass projectiles. Our scans reveal that the moon is partly hollow, and internally, not a sphere at all. The attack moon is simply the physical end in this location of the Orc's subspace tunnel. It is the mouth of a corridor, a conduit, through which they can transport potentially unlimited reinforcements and vessels." On screen, Heth looked up briefly as the ship he was aboard shook wildly. The picked image blinked off for a second, and then restored.
"With the very little time and limited resources available to us, we have attempted a rapid transliteration of the broadcasts being made by the attack moon. Magos biologist Laurentis, whom I also commend without reservation, has devised some translations which seem reliable. They are all statements issued by the apparent war boss of the Orc Horde. All recorded transmissions from the Orc vessel, along with all of Magos Laurentis's notes and ciphers, are attached to this communication in compressed data form. We have deduced that the Orcs refer to their subspace tunnel as a War Gate. This is a reasonably close translation. The war boss refers to himself by a name that is harder to find a single, specific translation for. Depending on nuance, it seems to be Beast, or Slaughter, or Lord that will make great slaughter. I don't think it matters. His intent is obvious, and..." The image blanked again. This time, it took longer to return.
"Time's almost gone," said Heth when he reappeared.
He had been cut by something, probably flying glass. He looked straight into the recorder source.
"Study the files I've sent. Study the damned data. For the love of Terra. You need to understand. You need to be ready. The Imperial fists are gone. They've wiped them out. The entire damned chapter. We are finished here. And unless you prepare yourselves, you..."
The screen went blank. "The communique ends there, sir," said the aide. Lansung nodded. He sat back and thought for a long while.
"Send a message directly to Lord Udo. Tell him we require an emergency sitting of the High Lords immediately."
"Immediately?"
"Yes, sir. Is that the whole of the Senatorum, my lord?"
"No," said Lansung.
"Just the High Lords.
Just the rest of the 12.
No others."
"Study the files I've sent," the uneven image of Heth was saying. "Study the damned data. For the love of Terra. You need to understand. You need to be ready. The Imperial fists are gone. They've wiped them out. The entire damned chapter. We are finished here. And unless you prepare yourselves, you..."
The screen went blank. "Lights up," Venan said. She rose from her seat as the light levels in her private chamber intensified. She looked at her silent circle of interrogators. Despite their novitiate robes, some were far more senior than they appeared. "That was the latest intercept," she said. "It went directly to the Admiralty via a secure beacon. But we extracted the data copy, thanks to well-placed friends in the Adeptus Astrotelepathica. Lansung will present it, or redacted highlights of it at least, to the High 12 in the next hour." She paused. "I think three things are self-evident. One, we must act, and act now, without hesitation. The crisis is as bad as anything we feared and predicted. Two, the public must not be informed of the extinction of the Imperial Fists. That is a priority matter of morale. 3. We must raise our game. There is no more time for subtlety. We knew what was coming in more detail than the Navy or any other body. We did not share that knowledge with the High 12 because we knew that Langsun's power block would make it impossible for us to direct the correct and appropriate policy. Traditional and hidebound military dogmas would have hamstrung us and delayed our ability to react. We must determine policy from this point on. We must be the actual and real root of power during this crisis and beyond, or the Imperium will not survive.
There was silence. One of the hooded figures raised his hand.
What, mistress, of the rogue elements? He asked. What of them? There are more pieces involved in this game than the main and obvious players.
This is a crisis of unparalleled proportions, replied Venand. Not a game. As for the minor pieces, they will be brought to terms, or contained, or they will be silenced.
What, mistress, of the rogue elements? Asked the hooded interrogator, sitting at the back of the chamber. What of them? There are more pieces involved in this game than the main and obvious players.
Venand looked at her questioner carefully. This is a crisis of unparalleled proportions, she replied. Not a game. As for the minor pieces, they will be brought to terms, or contained, or they will be silenced.
Bangerich pressed a key on his data slate, and the screen image of the inquisitorial representative's private suite froze. Paused.
Bangerich sat back in his chair, put the slate down, and steepled his fingers.
Beasts arise, he murmured to himself, and as they arise, so must they fall.